I'm Barry Worthington.
I'm Charlie Keegan.
I'm Paul Thorpe.
And this is the Progress with Unity podcast. Oh, what a fantastic day yesterday was, start to finish. So we've been buzzing this season, but yesterday was just, it topped it all. Started off in the supporters club with the arrival of the Joseph Goal Walkers, and we had Logan, the Northwest singer, on doing a fine turn on the stage. The atmosphere in there was absolutely buzzing. And then obviously we got to the game. We win 1-0, homegrown talent scores the goal. And then afterwards, we had the past players going on for Alex Cribbler, the auction. And we'll look at all those things over the next 20 minutes or so. Wigan Athletic 1, Blackpool 0.
It was a pretty complete performance, I think. The intent was there from the off as soon as Marshall Godot got the ball within 15 seconds of the game start, and it was a turn and a run forward, and all of a sudden Humphries has put through Scott Smith and we're nearly in, and I thought, there's the intent. That's a lot better than we started against Wickham, and then we just managed to carry that all the way through. Obviously, I was watching on iFollow, I couldn't be there, but it was coming through the atmosphere at the game, and it sounded like it was bouncing pretty much start to end. So that was one of the better games to watch this season. I really enjoyed that.
We went in expecting an end of season attitude from us and a slightly more intense attitude from them, because obviously they're trying to get in the playoffs. Obviously we didn't do that. We went in and gave as good as we got. And to your point, Barry, the game was a bit sort of, especially first half, chess matchy for me. Both sides knocking it about a bit, and it was that good. Even some of the people that, you know, the perennial mourners were quiet. That tells you it's good without actually saying anything. We've quite low expectations on our part. It was a good, enjoyable afternoon, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. And I thought both sides tried to play decent football. It was Gary Knox about. I thought it was a lot crisper in our possession with the passing at the back. You know, there were no standing still. I mean, if you look at the team from yesterday, tickling goals, Scott Smith, Hughes, Kerr and Chambers across the back. Scotty Smith sort of there. What a game he had. We'll come to that in a minute. Adiko and Smith, Matty Smith in midfield. Godot, Asgard and Jones just behind the striker, I thought, Stevie Humphries. But he wasn't, was he? Because Stevie Humphries was playing right wing. It was all over the place, that formation. Boy, did it work. And you think of Scotty Smith, what a game he had. He was never still, and he created so much opportunity for a ball to be passed with his constant moving.
Yeah, I think that was one of Scott Smith's best performances of the season. And I know that when Sean Clare starts at right back, he can get forward quite a lot. He has the freedom. We saw it when Harry McHugh was playing. All of a sudden, he takes off and he's in the centre forward position. But Scott Smith's got it down now to a bit of a fine art where he knows where he needs to be. He has the link up really well with the players. He has the Callum McManaman aggression that I like to watch. He doesn't half get stuck in, but I think he reads the game really well. And even we'll get onto the goal in a sec, but when Jordan Jones and Godot were on that side and they could tell the ball was going in, it took this faint little point from Scott Smith who was saying, put it there for me. So he knows where everybody wants to put the ball. He knows where he should be. And I think, obviously, he's a centre midfielder. I think there needs to be a real case for him playing a little bit more at right back from now on, because he's brilliant there.
Listening to Maloney's after-match comments about him, he said, I asked him to do a very difficult job yesterday. I asked him to play right back, right wing back and the number 10 role. And I think he played them all at the same time as well. He just seemed to be everywhere. I mean, he so much reminded me of James McArthur. We said this before on here. You know, his energy, McArthur's energy, his box-to-box stuff that he used to do. But the other thing as well, Scotty Smith's a Wiganer, a Wigan lad, and he's a Latics supporter as well. So it's just brilliant to see, isn't it? You know, coming through, captained all the youth teams coming up through the ranks, and then he's into the first team, possibly a future skipper of the old club as well.
It's brilliant. I think going back to Charlie's point about the fluidity, it's been slowly coming all through the season, hasn't it? You know, there's sometimes where it doesn't quite go to plan, but when it does work, you become brilliant. And it's just got that. I mean, like I said before we started recording, I'm looking forward to the title race with Bolton next season, because I think that is going to be one hell of a season next season. You can see the ingredients are there for it to become the two sides battling it out at the top. Might not happen, but if it does, you heard it here first.
The goal when it came. Moments earlier, we had a crossing from that side. Jones for Asgard. Asgard's headed wide.
It was going out for a corner. And then I think it was Gabriel knocked it. It ran all the way back and then knocked it out for a throw-in because he thought that'd be best for them. And then within 10 seconds, it's in their net. So he maybe should have let it go for a corner.
Was it going for a goal kick?
A decoy would knock the ball, answer.
I think it was going for a goal kick.
The keeper gave him a telling off. They're like, you know, what have you done that for? Safety first, though, isn't it? You know, if he's thinking it's going for a corner, I'm putting it out, and you can't knock him for that. He took the throw, and it ended up with Jones, his usual delightful cross curling in, and just over at Asgard's head, and they're at the far post, slammed it in the back of the net, and the reaction of Stevie Humphries as well, picking him. I thought he was going to throw him over his shoulder. That goal came on 26 minutes, and the sides were pretty even up to that point, but just edging it, I think, for me, the last six. Just prior to that, Jordan Rhodes got injured following a challenge between himself and Babar Adeku. It was a 50-50, and they both went in for it. No quarter asked, no quarter given, and Rhodes came off the worst. And you've seen a replay of it, Charlie, have you, that incident?
Yeah, I think there was about three challenges Adeku put in. There was one with Dembele where he's trying to get the ball off him and he got the ball, but I think he also banged knees with him. Adeku carried on. Dembele rolled off the field, so it definitely came off. He came off worse there. Then there was the one just before Rhodes where Adeku again won the ball and it was really strong. Then he wins it again off Rhodes, and not one of them was a bad foul, really. But with the Rhodes on, somebody's got to come off worse than that. It's like a pendulum. If you hit from one side, the reaction on the other side. And it was a pretty, it looked bad when Rhodes' leg snapped back. It looked like a knee problem, probably an ankle problem as well, just the speed his leg came back. But obviously, Adeku didn't mean anything bad by it. Rhodes tried to carry on for another 2 or 3 minutes. And once he went off, I did think that it rocked Blackpool just a little bit. And yeah, when Shane Lavery came on, I think there was just a little bit of a settling in period. So, but no, we capitalised on it very well. Obviously, you can't, if that's going to happen, you can't sit off and let them do that. We carried on attacking, which was good.
I think it was a game that Sean Maloney wanted to win. Again, listening to his post-match comments, he said we've lost two games against Blackpool where it felt we'd been done, so to speak. You know, the game in the Championship last season where we went behind after, I think it was 5 minutes, wasn't it? And then again, earlier this season, when again, Jordan Rhodes, he scored his first goal for them. He had scored in five games before they played us, and they banged one in the first couple of minutes. And then we got back into that game, and the hitters late on, didn't they? So I think he felt he wanted to get one over on them, and he was delighted. I mean, you saw him, he was bunching around the pitch at the end of the game, so made up for him. And he picked a yellow card up as well, he said, Sean Maloney, which I wasn't aware of. And it was from a clattering that Pennington had gone through the back of Stevie Humphries.
Yeah, it annoyed Maloney that.
It was a bad challenge. It was one of them where you look from the other side of the pitch, you're screaming red, but obviously the ref gave a yellow, didn't he?
Yeah, and it was Maloney grabbed the fourth official. That's what he got yellow carded for. And he even apologised for it afterwards. He said he got too frustrated and just grabbed the fourth official to show his anger. But I think Maloney, he must be really, really happy with that performance and put it up with one of the best of the season, because Blackpool, from what I can find out, only had three players missing from the match day squad, which is Andy Lyons, Ryan Finnegan and James Husband. And I think two of them are actually starters. We had a lot more players out. And even when you're looking at Ekpeteta, who he got sent off last year in the Championship, I thought he played very well yesterday. So there's been a lot of good development with their side. I still think they're in with a chance of getting the playoffs, but Blackpool are a very decent side, so we need to take a lot of pride from that performance.
As a football game, I think it's possibly the most enjoyable match that I've seen this season. You know, football-wise, watching the spectacle, there's some really good moves. A lot of great defending from both sides. We've got to mention Charlie Hughes and Jason Curry. I mean, together, what a purring they were yesterday. I mean, purring is the right word, because they were purring. For me, Hughes was simply outstanding. A great response to the fact that he's not been picked for the England under-20 squad. I tell you what, the centre-backs they have in there must be something else if they're not taking him. They must be. We critique him a little bit from week to week, watching him develop. He's going all the way to the top into people in Wigan. If you've not been going to any games, get yourself there and watch Charlie Hughes whilst he's with us, because you're possibly watching a future England international there. Absolutely sensational yesterday. I mean, I've seen a video online of somebody who's done some clips of his performance yesterday, and I'll say it again, breathtaking defending from him. But him and Kerr together, I thought they complemented each other extremely well yesterday.
Yeah, they do. I was I was worried about Hughes going into this game because I thought you've just watched Luke Chambers, Sam Tickle, and Marshall Godo all get called up to England where you rightfully should be. And I just wondered how that would play on his mentality. He's only 20, so I wouldn't be surprised if it did, but it seemed to raise his level even more just to prove to England, saying, like, you didn't take me and this is what you're missing out on. And I think it was one of his best performances of the season. It was the confidence to get so close to one of their attackers and just drop his shoulder and move away from them. And you're like, as a centre back, I would be saying, get rid of the ball, don't let them get near you. But I never actually felt worried that he was going to lose the ball. And every time it was coming to the top, he was clearing it up very well. But he played a bit of a different role. He was more central, which is where Charlie Goode usually would be. And Hughes would be the one out on the right to be able to spread the ball across. But seeing Kerr on the right-hand side and seeing how attacking he gets, like we're talking about Scott Smith running up the field. Jason Kerr as well takes off and he's running into the centre defensive mid role, he's running up the field. When we're trying to contain Blackpool, he's on the edge of the box. And I'm thinking, you shouldn't be there, but it's working really well. And like I said to you before we're recording, if he was in a Man City game and somebody had swapped John Stones and Jason Kerr around, I wouldn't notice for a while because he was that kind of defender. I thought you're playing like a John Stones role there. So it was really good to watch. Even one of Kerr's best performances.
The stats from the game: possession 49%, Blackpool 51, so pretty even there. Attempts, Latics had 4, Blackpool 11. I could have swore that we had more than 4 attempts yesterday. We hit the target once, they hit it 3 times. Corners, 2 to 3 in Blackpool's favour. We committed 14 fouls. Very nasty team, Wigan Athletic. Blackpool 8. Attacking passes, 146 by the Latics, 185 from Blackpool, and pass completion 78% Wigan Athletic, 81% pass completion by Blackpool. Yellow cards, we picked up 3, Charlie Hughes, Babradiko and Jordan Jones, whilst Blackpool picked up 2, and a really healthy gate of 13,964 with 2,931 coming from Blackpool. So a really good attendance yesterday. The referee, James Lennington, he had an all right game, I thought. Nothing outrageously bad. A select Group 2 referee, so he's used to refereeing in the Championship. I think that was just his third non-Championship game of the season, so you can tell, really, can't you? We've had some good non-select group referees, but not many. Latics Man of the Match was voted for by our listeners on both Facebook and Twitter. Latics number 21. Local boy, goal scoring hero, Scotty Smith. So, congratulations, Scott. Absolutely superb. Going into the international break now on the back of a home win over Blackpool. It's becoming a bit of a habit after we did exactly the same thing last season in November. And also, we've reached the target, the magical target of 50 points with 7 games remaining. Historically, that's the total that keeps you up, even though I think 47 would have been enough this season.
Yeah, and it's Sean Maloney's post-match interview. He's talking about how realistically we should be trying to hunt down Oxford United now because 58 would be our target without the deduction. And Oxford United, who are sat sixth in the final playoff spot, have got 63 points. So we're only 5 off them, really. And with 7 games to go, I think that's pretty incredible. Leyton Orient are on 58, and there's talk about them being potentially an outside chance. Blackpool are on 60 points, and there's talk about them being an outside shot of that final spot. So realistically, we should be up there. And I think we've been saying a lot this season where we can pinpoint where points have been dropped. The Blackpool game last time, we should have just taken the draw, and we didn't. We tried to go for it, and we lost the point there. And then the games earlier on against Cheltenham, if we'd have scored the penalty, who knows what would have happened, and the penalty we missed after that. So I think it's been a pretty perfect season overall. The development's been brilliant. And now we can look back and just think, where can we improve on? And I think Sean Maloney is now doing that to go into next season with a whole new set of targets. So it's going to be a very interesting summer now.
You're absolutely spot on, because we said at the start of the season, we want to stay safe, get some players a bit of experience and look forward to next season. And that's exactly what we've done and exactly what we're doing. You can't ask for more. Anything else would have been a ridiculous ask.
Well, the su surprise return of a couple of players as well, you say, didn't we? Stevie Sessegnon and Liam Shaw made their way back into the squad and back onto the pitch. Not been a lot of chat about Shaw from the manager. So I know he picked an injury up, but there wasn't any news on his progress. As far as Sessegnon was concerned, we was thinking it was going to possibly be after the international break. But it's good to see them both back in.
Back in, coming through, and then having another week to have a, a bit more recuperation and rehabilitation or whatever they need. There's been a lot of rotation, hasn't there, in a lot of places across the squad, and it's good at this time of season when you've had that. Because if you've been reliant on certain players and then you lose them, you end up struggling.
Here's a question for you. Liam Shaw, is he a player that you think we could possibly look to bring into the club in the summer on a permanent deal? Is he the type of player we'd want?
Yes.
Yes. On the grounds that he's always done good when he's come in.
Yeah, I think he's got a lot more potential. We haven't really seen it. It's been in and out, but obviously you're competing with Babadeko and Matt Smith in that midfield and Scotty. So it was a hard midfield to get in. But I think one thing we've really learned this season is we need the depth to be able to go again next season properly. And I think Liam Shaw can do a very, very good job in that. And obviously we've got Joe Adams to come through and Ethan Mitchell might be coming back as well. So we should have a strong group of players, but I would like Liam Shaw to be involved in that.
He's a big lad, isn't he? He's tall. He adds height in both boxes, defending and attacking. And he puts a challenge in too. He's physical, just what you want.
Another thing that's not quite concluded yet, but from our point of view, may as well have done, is the local Lancashire League. Obviously, there's four teams in the local area in this division. And that has finished with Latics played six, won four, lost two, 12 points with a plus six goal difference. Bolton have won three with a minus four goal difference. Blackpool have won two, drawn one with a plus three goal difference. And they obviously still got Fleetwood to play against. And Fleetwood have won one, drawn one, lost three with a minus six goal difference. And there is still a game for them to play against Blackpool. So, yeah, whatever happens in that game, we're going to finish top of that local league.
Champions of Lancashire, Wigan Athletic.
Champions of the area.
Go on, up the ticks. Last night in the post game in Whelan's Bar, there was the Alex Cribley benefit auction conducted by the Wigan Athletic Heritage Society and the Past Players Association. And it was full of former players. It was an absolutely superb evening. Joe Morton, congratulations to Joe organising it all. Tony Kelly was there as one of the chief instigators as well. He was up on stage. Tommy Gore, fabulous Tommy, absolutely superb on the doing the auction. And Adam Conroy as well from the Heritage Society. He had an interview with both Tony Kelly and Paul Beasley, who son actually played in the game yesterday as well. So it was a bit strange for him. He had a foot in both camps. It was great to see all the old lads there. There was loads of them: David Glenn, Alan Johnson, Neil Bailey, Peter Orton. I got to tell Peter Orton he scored the best goal at Springfield Park that I've seen. It was just a wonderful evening. More importantly, they raised close on to £4,000 with a couple of auction items still to go. Fabulous stuff, and that money will be going through to Alex and his family. A great way to round off what was a fabulous day.
Yeah, I think my favourite picture from the whole event as well, obviously. Fantastic event to see and everything like that. But Josh McGinnis holding the pint. As soon as I saw that, I thought, season's done. We're all right, we're safe.
Yeah, that was that's a fabulous pause. And I'll tell you what, I can see why he's been made club captain. Whatever you think of Josh as a player, he is a good character and he's a great guy. Just a notice on the Community Trust race night, which had to be postponed due to Wigan Warriors playing their home Challenge Cup tie with Sheffield Eagles on Friday the 22nd. It's now been moved to Friday the 5th of April, and it's written in stone it won't be moved. So if you fancy coming along supporting the Community Trust, it's free entry. It's £1 a bet if you want to have a bet. You don't have to have a bet if you don't want. Just come and have a good evening. And yeah, we'll be running it and looking to get about 100 people in, so it'll be a cracking atmosphere. Anyway, we won't be back on Wednesday because there's no game for us to look forward to. But we will be back a week on Wednesday. Looking ahead to Burton on Good Friday. Let's hope it's a Good Friday. So until a week of Wednesday, it's up the six. Come on.
Come on,
up the
up the
six.
six.